Hey, I just wanted to welcome you guys all to October's call. This call, I changed it because I threw a lot of stuff at you in this month's lifestyle challenge and this month's ebook nutrition challenge. So I really wanted to focus about all the stuff, answer kind of like high-level questions, and then answer any types of questions, individual questions that you may have regarding the information that you read. Also, don't forget that you guys do have your one call each month, so make sure that you do schedule that, and we can get really specific about your particular case. So let's just dive in. So this is being recorded, so just in case you need to hit rewind or need to just hear it again, just so that you know that. So my goal when I work with clients is to make or work with them to make food automatic. I know that it's really easy to obsess about food. It's easy to obsess what you put into your mouth. It's easy to obsess about pretty much everything. You know, there's so much information out there now that, you know, your head is spinning whether, you know, this is good for you this week or this is bad for you this week. So a lot of times it's, you know, you think you're doing the right thing and then you're like, oh, crap, no, I'm not. So I don't want you to get confused. I want you to, you know, ask good questions. You know, I ask a ton of questions all the time. I read a ton of stuff and I'm always trying to figure out, you know, is the research this month accurate? And does it hold any water? So the first thing I really want to talk about is, like, yeah, I can give you a meal plan, and I could say eat this, eat that, and so on and so forth. But what I really want to work with you on is just when you eat, how do you feel? And really getting in tune with foods that serve you and foods that don't serve you. And over the last few years, I've had a number of people who have come up with food intolerances. So that means they're not quite allergic to them, but that food is causing inflammation in their body. And so they need to remove that for a little bit in order for their bodies to reset and they can reintroduce that into their system. So it's like really, you know, paying attention to those types of things. The other thing is, you know, we've talked a lot about this on the page, is, you know, really monitoring kind of like your hunger, your energy, and your craving. And one of the folks that is like, I think, just a rock star in the nutrition and food space is this guy that he is the one who kind of came up with that. And if you think about it, our hunger, our energies, and our craving are really tied to our hormones as ladies. And our hormones, you know, fluctuate like rapidly, you know, typically within a couple weeks of us getting our periods. You know, our hormones go off the chart. And, you know, it's twofold as far as, yes, our hormones do cause us to crave, but also some of it is just habitual that, you know, or I don't know what the right word is, but like a justification, like, oh, I have my period, so it's okay that I am having cravings for whatever you crave whenever you have your period. So one of the things that I like that he has really focused on is, you know, in that hunger, energy, and craving cycle, you know, where are you? Like, step back from that craving and understand, are you truly hungry? You know, are you having low energy? You know, how is your sleep? You know, are you stressed out? You know, what's causing all of this? And, you know, we talked about on the page, you know, when you don't sleep, you are going to crave food. The food is what you're craving to help you fuel, to help you feel like have more energy. It's your body's way of saying, for the love of God, I need to eat this, or feed me something if you're going to make me keep going. So that's, you know, a lot of times, like, I always ask people, like, understand that, and then feel, it takes a little bit to understand how do you keep that in balance. You know, is it, for some people, it's making sure they're getting the water. For some people, it's making sure they're getting food. For some people, making sure that they're, you know, getting an extra protein because that helps them be satiated from guilt. Or adding an extra half cup of a fiber veggie. So it takes a little bit to really kind of find what your body needs to kind of keep your kind of super energy and craving at a, at an even level is the best way to describe that. The other thing that I really want to make sure that I got a problem was the whole concept of buffer. Now, the buffer food is what I call, I've seen it differently, extravagantly. We have cheese, a sanity food. It is something that you have that will take the edge off of the craving, but that won't send you over the edge. So I think I wrote this in the book, in the ebook. For me, ice cream is not a buffer. For me, ice cream, I will eat myself. I have a bottomless pit that I can eat as much ice cream as possible. I'm like a goldfish. I can eat ice cream until I don't have a shot of that. So for me, that's a trigger for me. I can't eat it. But there are things, like, for example, I can have, I do this every day. Every day, I have a handful of grapes. And I have a handful of grapes after dinner, and it's my...
Kim, it's hard to hear you.
Say again?
It's hard to hear you. You're cutting out. Yeah, you're cutting out.
Oh. Is this better now?
Yeah.
My health is a cell phone, and I have to say... Am I cutting out again?
Yeah. I can't even hear you.
So talking about trigger food buffer, so buffer food is something that you have every day that doesn't set you off. So for me, every day after dinner, I have an ample break. It's sweet enough that gives me that, you know, gives me that satisfaction, but it's not something that I go back to the fridge over and over and over and over again to have those drinks. So it's just those little, like, you know, some people can have,
some people can, you know, everyone has to kind of figure out what that food is that they can have that gives them a little, makes them feel sane, but doesn't push them to the insane. And, you know, I have a client, she has bacon every day, 2 slices. That's it. And it helps her feel like she's not feeling deprived. And those grapes help me not feel deprived. They give me the sweetness I need without adding, you know, a ton of calories or extra fats or any extra anything. And I just, it's just what I do. The other thing is that people get confused about are good fats. And so most people typically stick with olive oil, nuts, or nut butters. But we get so much of the other, we get so many other good fats out there that it's awesome to mix it up and to try other good fats. So if you go to any grocery store, I don't care which store you go to, you can find anything,
any great oil, as long as it's not olive oil, soybean oil, or Crisco, it is yours. And the best thing to do with oil, if you're using it as a good fat, is to not cook with it. So I would cook my food, and then I would put the oil on it. And so what happens when I cook with it, it breaks down the components of the fat, and so it's still good, but it's not as beneficial when I cook with it. And so a lot of times my good fats come in, I put it in on my salad, or I'll roast my veggies, and then I'll put the good fat on right as I pull it out of the oven, so that it just kind of still is able to like blend and melt in there. And there's a weird thing that tastes really good that, you know, you probably would never think to do. Coconut oil, I usually will put that on my roasted veggies. It tastes really good on roasted broccoli, tastes good on Brussels sprouts. It's not just, you know, putting it on like what you traditionally would think, like on pumpkin and squashes. It tastes really good on green veggies. So I'm now just going to open it up to see if we have any questions based on what we've talked about thus far and anything that's kind of like come up for you after reading through the book.
I'm a huge person for food. You know that, Michelle.
Yeah.
I have huge issues. I feel like the food pyramid thing you've given us on the call pyramid is not the kind of it.
Hold on, you totally broke up. Let me move. Again?
Yeah, for me, like with the food issue, like, you know, the food pyramid thing that you've given me or us, whatever, I look at that and I don't know how to portion control it. You know what I mean? Like, I get that you've given like a quarter of a cup here, or if we work out and do like four cups, half a cup here, and you do, you know, I mean, I'm starving like all day long. So when I eat how I eat, like I've always done Weight Watchers, you know that. And so when I eat the way I eat, it kind of just works for me because I'm able to have the things that I shouldn't. You know, unfortunately, that's not Weight Watchers model anymore. But even with the new way, I was losing weight on that. And I think it was because I was not satisfied with that food. Like eating clean just was not satisfying me. And whether it's hormonal or whatever it is, because I mean, I don't know what it is. I just was never satisfied. So I went back to eating the old way of Weight Watchers where you could eat anything. And as long as it was in your points range, I followed the new points way. And I don't add fat to my diet. Like I add fat, but not, I don't add olive oil or anything. And I know they're good fats. I know they aid in weight loss. All that stuff, but like I can't, for some reason I just can't get that in because I've always gained weight when I've done that. Does that make sense?
So one of the questions I have is protein. How much protein are you getting in?
So it depends. In the morning, I have Thomas's light English muffin, and with that, I have either an egg, a whole egg, or I'll mix it up and I'll have, I know that's protein. I don't know if I have a veggie sausage sometimes. I don't know if that has any protein, and it probably does or doesn't. Or I'll have a laughing cow cheese in my English muffin. I always have an English muffin. I don't know why, it's what I like in the morning. And then at lunch, I have like 4 ounces of roasted
cheese. You know, I'm going to call back in because you just totally broke up. And I think if I hang up my phone and redial, I'll be able to hear you clearly. So So I'm going to call. Okay. I'm going to call. You stay on, but I'm going to call back in on the line.
Okay.
Hello. All right, I'm back.
Okay. Yes, but I mean, I have one egg in the morning with an English muffin, or I have something else, depending on what I feel like. Sometimes overlapping cat cheese, sometimes I have a Thomas' light English muffin in the morning. Kind of always, what I just liked. And then at lunchtime, I have about 4 ounces of turkey breast with some bread. Whatever.
Increase your breakfast. Like, one egg isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, if you don't want to have just, instead of having an egg, I would like to say, you can buy the whole egg and, like, make your own egg whites, or you can buy them liquefied.
The eggs?
Yep.
So, like, I'm going to call in too off of my cell phone because I don't know if it's me.
It's your cell phone because I called back on my landline, so I think it's your cell phone.
You did? Okay.
Oh, now you're good.
Hold on. Sorry.
You have shitty cell service at your house, too. That's awesome. Glad I'm not alone.
I usually don't. It's so crazy.
But now you're good. Now you're totally good. But, yeah, I would start your day with, kind of play with it. Like, see if you go 2 eggs in the morning and see how you do. And then just kind of, like, 4 ounces of turkey. The 4 ounces of turkey in the afternoon, totally cool.
Yeah. I mean, I thought about it. And, like, I don't know. And then, like, dinner, I have, again, 4 ounces of meat.
Yeah, cause I think for you, I think most for how active you are and for, you're up at the crack of dawn. I think you having like 3 to 4 ounces of protein at every meal, that's where we'll start to see if that gives you a little bit more satiation versus so you don't feel like this, like, you got the hungry horse all the time.
I've been doing really good, and then all of a sudden it's like clockwork. Like, I'm not really hungry. I'm fine with what I'm eating. And, like, I know I have days, and then literally like I have like severe cravings for like stupid shit, and then I have like my little app on my phone, and I looked at it, and sure enough, I'm literally 1 week from the day, and
right.
I don't know if it's like. And obviously you say, like, my face is starting to break out. I obviously have a lot more energy. I always get a lot more energy right before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I clean everything, and I do, like, my desk, my house, whatever, like, I'm on a tear. And then I get whatever. I've been going. And the other thing, too, is funny, because I don't know if it's psychological or if it's just me or my body, my makeup, but, like, literally going. I walked 20 minutes on the treadmill handle at like an 8 incline for 20 minutes. It's okay. Like, that's not supposed to make me more hungry.
So, like, after you, so you eat before, so you eat before you go to the gym. You go to the
Never.
Gym. So you work out an empty stomach?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. There it is. Okay. You need to have something in the tank before you go and you do a lifting session or a cardio session.
Okay.
So if you can, you know, take that English muffin and that egg and eat it on the train on your way into town. Because what's happening is you get up, then you get to the gym for 7, you do all your stuff, and then you're not eating until what, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock?
10.
And then, you know, you got up, what, at 5:30?
Yeah.
So you've gone 5 hours without food.
Right. But it's not in the morning that I'm hungry.
No, because it's not the same way that you're hungry. So what's going to happen is you've got those 5 hours of food, and your body's like, you've put your body through stress. You've, like, you've worked out, you've done all this stuff, and then at night your body's like, I'm still hungry because I didn't get enough food during the day.
Right.
So if you just, like, front-loaded your day with something, that way at night, your body's not like, oh my God, I'm hungry.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, just making that little tweak. And like, you know, before you work out, I mean, the perfect thing is like you're not driving, so it's like you can easily like have, you know, like egg in your toast and like make it into a sandwich and bring it with you.
Mm-hmm.
I also, like, one of my, like, my go-tos when I was training in the morning. The other training thing I would do, I would bake oatmeal. So I would mix, had oat bran, I had regular oatmeal, I had steel oats, I would mix it with some berries, mix it with some egg whites, a little sweetener, and I would throw it in the oven, bake it for 30 minutes, and it was like a giant muffin. And I,
mm-hmm.
like, I ate that on the way to, I would eat that on the way into work.
Okay.
And it was like, it was easy because, you know, you take public transportation, so it was like, it was easy that you could, like, put it in the bag and eat it and it not be, like, a pain in the ass. You didn't need a straw,
right.
You didn't need a spoon, you didn't need anything.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So I think if you change, like, for let's work on upping your food earlier in the day and change that, and let's
mm-hmm.
see if that shifts you from, you know, wanting to attack the fridge at night.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it, too, is, like, boredom.
Yeah.
It's
funny that you say that because I have another mommy that I'm working with, and she's just like, you know, after she puts the kids to bed, she's like, she goes, it's my reward. She's like, I did it. I got them to sleep. You know, that no one's like, you know, asking for extra glass of water. And so she's like, I sit on the couch and I eat. It's my reward.
Well, exactly. You know, by the time we get home and everything else and, you know, we get dinner ready, my dinner is always cooked. Like, I cook on Sunday like you do for the week.
Right.
And so I am already ready, so I just nuke whatever I need to nuke, and, you know, because it's easier with them, the kids too. And then by the time we get them to bed and my husband and I get lunches and breakfast and snacks and everything put together for us and for her when she goes to school, it's 9:30. So by the time I'm sitting down, I'm just like, oh my God, like, I finally can eat something and have it. It's all mine. I don't
right.
share with anyone.
Right. You don't have to share. If you want it hot, it's going to be hot without answering 500 questions.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's where, like, like, you know, that's where, like, you kind of think about, like, you know, I have my grapes. So you think about, like, something that you can have that's not going to be this, like, you know, big caloric thing.
I usually have popcorn. I'm quite addicted to popcorn.
Yeah, you've always had your popcorn thing.
I have. I'm addicted to it.
And, you know, and popcorn's not bad. You know, it's not like you're like, I need to have, like, you know, movie theater popcorn.
Yeah. I mean, I don't gain weight by eating popcorn. I gain weight by eating excessive popcorn.
Yeah, so I think if we just work on the next few weeks, focus on getting that meal in you sooner, I think it'll change.
Yeah.
Change
well,
and,
I'm going to start. I'm going to try it tomorrow.
Yeah, give it a shot and see what happens.
Okay. What's this other stuff? I don't know. I'm so confused by all this. You know that. It's crazy. Like good fats and bad fats. See, I don't eat a lot of stuff. I'm very picky eater. So there's, you know, I can eat the most thing and be okay with that. But, like, I need, like, you have grapes and that wouldn't satisfy me because me grapes aren't bad. But they are, but they're not. You know, they're not the fruit that you should eat, but they're not all the time. But they're not. It's fruit. At the end of the day, it's fruit.
Right.
You know, I like, you know, to eat. I'm a salt fiend. And, you know, it's so because last week when I did my biometric screening and my good cholesterol is low. And when I said, yeah, well, you know, what do I do to get that up? And you were like, good fats, you know, this, blah, 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 no. And it happened to be pumpkin seeds. They're not nuts. Yeah, here I am. Sticking on those things. Pumpkin seeds.
Yeah.
Those aren't nuts. They're seeds.
They're seeds, yeah. So
that's a good fat?
Yeah. So if you think, so the good fats are basically they boil down to omega 3, 6, and 9. So cholesterol is basically in our bodies what helps our cells stay either really rigid or really soft.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like, you know, if you would have Crisco and, like, you know, treat your cholesterol up because then it makes your cells so rigid that nutrients can't pass in and out of the cell membranes. So, like, pumpkin seeds are omega 6 or omega 9. But we don't eat a lot of, like, seeds. We eat, most people think, like I said, about fats, is that it's olive oil, it's almonds, because that's what we see on TV. The pumpkin industry only comes out this time of year and says, hey, buy it and carve it. And, oh, we're going to make a lot of crap pumpkin flavored.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like seeds are awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, I love them, and like, I mean, I love seeds. So I've had to years ago. I mean, I certainly used to buy the Davidson pounds from BJ's.
Right.
And I was obsessed while watching TV. My fingers would be burning. That's my
obsession. Yeah, and the thing about, you know, for those, you know, you might have to portion them. Like some, they, I, you know, if it's a trick that if you just can't stop eating it and you get bottomless pit, then, like, you don't have pumpkin seeds. Or you only buy them on the go, they're consumable.
I also bought.
You broke up again.
I know. It's been breaking up a little bit. It might be the line. Are you there?
No, I'm here. You just broke up, so I missed half of it.
Okay. It just might be the conference line.
Oh, you're back.
that's crappy.
No, here we go.
I bought my daughter also because she can't have peanut butter at school.
Her. Now, can she? Is it just peanuts or?
It's
nuts
in general. But sun butter is nut free.
Yeah.
So I bought that, and that is delicious. That
look at
is really dangerous.
Read the back of that because some of it has added sugar.
Nope. No sugar.
Perfect.
And salt only. That I pay attention to. Because I know that the all natural has like palm oil in it and all kinds of other junk.
Yep.
And so I won't do that.
But Trader's is good for, they have a bunch of different butters that probably can not set off some allergen at your kid's school.
Yeah. But that too, I like that stuff. But see, that's the other thing. All this stuff has to be done, doesn't it? We can't do every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's not true. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, you have, I was looking at the thing to eat, right? 60 minutes before you work out, and one of them, and of course I go right to it, right? It's chocolate syrup. Like Hershey's chocolate syrup, you're talking?
Say it again.
The Hershey's chocolate syrup.
You totally broke up, sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, now you're back.
The list of food you gave before you work out.
Yep.
Chocolate syrup.
Yep.
Is that like a Hershey's chocolate syrup?
No, it's more like they you can get it at Whole Foods. They sell a chocolate syrup that is carob. There it is. That's the word. Carob. So it's not like sickeningly sweet as Hershey syrup.
Carob syrup?
Carob. It's a C-A-R-O-B.
Okay, I see. Yeah, because I was looking at that and I was like, what kind of syrup is that? Like, I didn't think it was turkey syrup that people put in the milk. And that is what you do with it? You just put it in milk or you eat it on something?
Yeah, you put it in milk, stir it up, drink it. I mean, like, if old school bodybuilders used to use, like, actual Hershey's chocolate syrup.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I mean, there's so much. There's so much controversy with food and everything.
Oh, completely.
I unfortunately, like, I'm trying to get away from the sleep lactate. I really am. And you know what's really even more funny is I had said to one of the girls I work with that while doing this program and doing the workouts that you have me doing, I feel like I'm losing my inches anyway.
Yep.
And granted, I'm eating semi-okay. You know, I'm not eating as much protein as I should. But, you know, before I had taken a ton of carbs out of my diet, and I feel like I don't need to take carbs out of my diet. Like, I feel,
no.
I don't know. Like, I feel like when I take carbs out of my diet, I'm punishing myself. And I don't want to do that. And I'm like, I'm not, like, 75 years old, right? I need my carbs.
Right.
That's what fills me.
Yeah. And I always tell people, like, you know, most people are like, oh, I'm eating too many carbs. And I'm like, that very well could be the case. But I always tell people, at minimum, you need 3 to 4 servings of a carb a day, especially if you are lifting and you are very active. Then if we, like, give you 3 to 4 carbs and you're not responding, then we can have a different conversation. You know, it could be the type of carb you're choosing versus, carbs in general. So, you know, then, you know, it's like I go into – well, let's try to pick you know, lower glycemic index carbs versus more of the, you know, starchy carbs and see how that works for you.
Right.
But I you know, even my girls who are getting ready for a show, I don't cut their carbs. They might go down to like 2 a day, but they do not get carbs cut.
Gotcha.
Because when you cut your carbs, you just get stupid.
It just it doesn't make sense.
No, when I was competing, like I like the last like the last 2 weeks before show, I was just like an idiot. Like everything's on like tape delay. You would ask me a question, I'd be like, okay, and I just like could not comprehend stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, I mean, I think, I don't know what I need to do. I mean, I'm losing it. You know what? Me, I'm up and down. I lose a pound and a half, and then I gain 0.4. And then I lose a pound and a half, and then I gain 0.2.
That's the nature of the beast. But it's like, if you think about, as you lose, your gains aren't, you know, going less. Lose 2 pounds, gain 3 pounds, lose 2 pounds, gain 3 pounds. You're not having this yo-yo effect. You're, like, having steady decreases but, like, minimum gains. So, like, 0.4 pounds could have been like you didn't poop that day. 0.4 pounds could have been like you had a little extra water. 0.4 pounds could have been like I'm about to get my period tomorrow.
Right.
So, like, you know, if you're, like, not – if you're losing and then you're gaining less than what you've lost, I wouldn't even sweat it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So that's, you know, for me, like, that's a standard deviation.
Yeah. And, like, last week I was sick and I was taking cough syrup, like, all that sugar. And
right, but
like,
I wouldn't even go to that. Like, it could have been the cough syrup. It could have been the fact that you were, like, up all night, like, with your kids and, like, you know, just the stress of that. Like, it could have been a number of factors.
Right, yeah, that makes sense. It does make sense. I try not, like, with doing this whole program, I'm trying not to sweat it. I'm just letting the pieces fall where they may.
Exactly.
You know, I'm kind of like, well, my pants are still fitting and they're getting bigger, and if it proceeds this way, then I'm just going to stop paying Weight Watchers because I know how to eat. I feel like I know how to eat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm not going to pay them to continue to go when I'm losing the inches, but I'm not getting to the weight that they want in order to stop paying.
Right.
And it bothers me. You know what I mean? Because, like, I go
yeah.
in there and I'm like, my pants are big, lady. And she's like, well, but you're still not at your full weight. And it's just like, ugh. And it's so frustrating to me.
And that's what frustrates me about Weight Watchers is that, like, they've come so far from, like, the counting calories and counting points, yet they still have the damn scale.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They should do measurements.
Something. Because, like, you know, I know why people go to Weight Watchers. It's that, you know, you want to go and you want to, like, you know, there might be a nugget that someone might say, that you're like, oh, I should give that a try. And, you know, they've helped millions of people. But at the same time, like, I want to win. So if I come week after week after week and, like, the scale's not budging or the scale budges, like, you know, a pound every few weeks, but, you know, like you said, you come in and you're like, but I'm swimming in my clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, it's a vicious cycle for me. And, you know, and I did so well on it years ago with their old program, with their unhealthy eat everything process program. and I know, you know, it's crazy because, like, if I went back to eating 100 calorie packs and went back to eating, you know, all this junk food that I ate while I was on that one with less points, I would be doing just fine. Like, literally a baggie full of Cheerios, like, you know, sitting at my desk eating Cheerios one by one, literally. That's the kind of stuff that I used to do.
Right.
And it worked, and I lost 30 pounds. But things are different. I don't eat like that. I'm just different now.
And the other thing is that your body, you've lost all this weight. Your body's like, oh, I know what she's doing. Because the first time you did it, you probably never went on a formal diet before. So your body had no idea what you were doing. And it just was like, okay. And it just gave you the weight, gave you the weight, gave you the weight. Now your body's like, oh, we've been on this before. We know exactly what she's going to do. And she's not going to give us any food, so we're just going to hold on to it until we decide we're going to give it to her.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And it sucks. I was a competitor for 9 years, so basically I yo-yo dieted for 9 years. My body, like, it took me forever to, like, get to a set point with my body because my body's like, I don't know what you're going to do to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How, I mean, I know everybody's different, right? But, like, how long does it generally take for your body to gain and shed? Like, I'm talking, like, gain the muscle, the tone, and everything like that. And I mean, like, your girl, like, in 6 months, that girl, I mean, she wasn't big at all. But, you know what I'm saying? She went, you know, meh. To, like, I mean, rock solid abs. I mean, what is she doing that I'm not?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't, and I'm not comparing myself. I'm just trying to figure out, like, where that spectrum is.
So for Aubrey, what changed for her dramatically was Aubrey used to be a group fitness instructor that taught, like, 500 classes, and she actively taught the classes.
Okay.
So basically, she couldn't get enough food in her body, so that she had no muscle tone at all because she just was, like, burning it off as fast as she could put it on. So this year, she cut down. She only teaches, like, 5 classes. So now she was able to hold onto her muscle and not look like skinny fat. She was able to hold onto her muscle, and then she actually started to, like, she wasn't so tired, so she was able to, like, really, like, lift. And so that was a change for her. Like, she had to change her routine in order to change her body. So that's why she got those changes. And also she, like, really got good with her nutrition. Before, she was just kind of okay with her nutrition because she was running from here, there, and everywhere. And so she wasn't actively fueling her body. So that was one of the changes that she made with her nutrition. And also not teaching 500 classes.
Gotcha.
For the average person, I always say that it is at least before you personally, you look in the mirror and you say, I see something, it's easily a 12-week cycle that you will see, you know, muscle gains. The scale should even itself up. But typically, I always tell people it's about 12 weeks that you'll see some change. Now, there are people who are, you know, more muscle builders. So, like, you know, they can just walk past weekends and put on 5 pounds of muscle. And there are other people who are like, I've walked past the same weight bench 20 times, and I've only got an ounce of muscle for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not in a rush. I'm not. Like, before I couldn't get my head wrapped around the fact that, like, I only gained 25 pounds during pregnancy, and I did so good, and I worked out, and I made sure I ate properly. I ate nothing processed. I did everything I should at pregnancy, and my girls, I know, 50 pounds, 60 pounds, 80 pounds, and they're, like, down to friggin' sweat and tears, and I'm, like, still hovering. And I also, too, take into consideration that I don't smoke. And I wonder if these last 5 pounds are from not smoking.
Yeah.
And they're healthy, not smoking weight.
Yeah. Because
granted, my body is not even close to being solid or, you know, it's still flat. I still have a lot of flat around my back and my belly area, no doubt. But, I can see and feel the skin that just is there.
And that's the thing about, you know, the hard thing about skin. Like, skin, you know, like any, like, our bodies take their ever-loving time to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and I totally get the whole stomach thing because I had, you know, the surgery I had this summer, it literally, like, it's, like, as the day goes on, like, I just, like, my stomach just, like, kind of expands just from, like, gravity. And I'm like, seriously, it's been 3 months. Like, when am I going to get rid of this damn swelly belly?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, did you have, like, a C-section type of incision stuff?
No. Well, I had my surgery done laparoscopically, but still, they moved enough stuff around in my innards. So I was fortunate. That was, like, the next step, if they couldn't do it laparoscopically, was to do it, like, a C-section. And I was like, I don't know if I could handle 8 to 12 weeks of, like, not doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had 2 C-sections, and both were terrible. And my last one, I had 3 blood transfusions. It was awful. And so I feel like my body, too, is still having to go back from
the trauma.
From that trauma, exactly. And I'm not pushing it, like, over the top. But I feel like, all right, enough is enough. Because if I give into it, then it's going to consume it. It's
right.
Going to be like, oh, well, you know, she's not going to push me anymore, so I don't have to go back to normal, you know, whatever normal was.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, all this food and then the recipe you gave, they sound so delicious, but there's no, like, what do you do for servings? Like, do you measure out anything? Or do you just eat until you're full?
No. So usually for servings, like if it's a starchy food, I usually eat anywhere from like a quarter cup to a half a cup. And then if it's a veggie, I eat veggies until I'm done.
Well, right, but I mean, like, the smoked barbecue chicken in the crock pot.
Oh, I usually, for my protein, I usually eat anywhere from, like, 4 to 6 ounces of protein.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, usually, like, when I make that crock pot thing, I toss, like, 4 or 5, like, whatever the number of chicken breasts in the pack, toss it into the crock pot, make that, and then I just kind of, I just use 4 to 5 ounces of it, of whatever chicken I have. The other thing I'll do with it is, so when it crocks down, like, the chicken gets really soft, so I'll
right.
also, like, shred it and, like,
pull
make
it, yeah.
kind of like a pulled porky kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just use 4 to 5 ounces of that.
Okay. So you weigh it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than cutting it.
Oh,
because
yeah.
there's really no vegetables in here except for the tomatoes anyway and the onions.
Yeah, but usually like proteins I measure usually, but like veggies I just eat as many as I.
Yeah. You know, I did all the points out on these. I'm psycho. Why am I so psycho about this? Point.
No,
shit.
It's not you. It's I don't know. It's in our women's DNA, and so that's why like when I first started doing nutrition, like. It was all about numbers. Like, it was all about hitting macros. And that made me personally batshit crazy. And it made people who are, like, number people, you know, like, if I said 100, like, they had to, like, hit 100 on the button. So if that meant eating, like, one bite of something to make it exact 100, they had to do that. And I'm like, that just sets up obsessive behavior. So that's why, like, I kind of moved away from that and, like,
mm-hmm.
just made it more portion, so it's easy to know, like, everyone has the same quarter cup. It's easy to
right.
do a quarter cup. I'm like, if you want to do a heaping quarter cup, that's fine, but, you know,
right.
that's you. But it's like, it makes it less cuckoo when you're not trying to hit a number. And it's also, I found, easier to track when I can say, oh, yeah, I did have 2 portions of protein today. I did have 3 portions of something today versus being like, how many grams did I have? Or, you know, it just made me... made people too crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I'm all
sense.
About minimizing the crazy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because we do get out of control with this stuff.
Oh, it's so easy. So easy to get crazy.
I mean, like, what is your, if you were to, like, aside from all this, like, take all this, like, technical stuff out of the equation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would be, like, the one thing that you would tell all of us about our food? Because clearly, I mean, even with, like, all us posting stuff, we all have the same issues. And I don't feel like it's, I just feel like it's just what we've made, what our makeup is, like how we were raised even, right?
Yeah.
Like, just sit on the couch with your parents and you eat bags of Doritos. I mean, why the hell not? There's a lot of good shows on.
Oh, yeah. No. I grew up on junk food. My mom didn't cook. So, like, she brought home takeout all the time. So that's mm-hmm. what I grew up on. And for most of my life, I did not have to think about my weight. I graduated from high school and I weighed less than 100 pounds. I looked like a freaking skeleton, but I didn't have to worry about it. Like, my metabolism is so crazy. So what I tell most people, it sucks, and I hate doing it personally too, but I have to go back to it every once in a while, is food journal. So when I food journal, I literally, like, and I don't make it special. I just write down, like, what I put in my mouth, and I also put down, like, how I felt. So, like, if I ate something at 1 o'clock and at 3 o'clock I was, like, ready to eat again, I wrote a note that said, you know what, I have to increase my protein, I have to increase my veggie at this meal. And then I also look to see, you know, it's like I have to play, like, you know, CSI on my food. So, like, the biggest thing I could always tell people is journal. Because when you journal, it, one, holds you accountable, two, it gives you a clue as to, like, what's going on.
Right.
And you're able to,
what,
like,
you
see,
go back and see what you've eaten. That's making you not lose those pesky pounds.
Right, or, like, why, you know, all of a sudden you're, like, starving. And I look at my, like, today. I, like, you know, I got up this morning, I ate, then I ate a little earlier. So when I came back from class, I had a phone call, and I didn't eat for an extra hour, and I was absolutely starving. So, like, when I had my meal, like, an hour later, I was like, okay, what's next? Because I missed my window. I didn't eat on time.
Mm-hmm. So then, so, like,
again?
if you're still starving after you eat your lunch, you don't eat again. You just wait it out.
I do. I just have protein.
Okay. I see.
I have protein, and then I just know, like, hey, you know what? I can't do that. Like, I have to make sure that I don't go, like, 4 to 5 hours without eating. It has to be, like, 3 hours for me, or I lose my stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's pure, and everyone does have the same issues. So it's just a matter of, like, coming to that, like, what's that buffer food for you? For you, it's the popcorn, you know, and then, like, finding out, like, what's going to set you up for success.
Right. Yeah. You just got to get there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's time, it's a process.
It is. It makes perfect sense. It's just, you know, getting there.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted the program to be 6 months, because, like, I know that, like, you have 12 months and you got something under your belt, and then, like, I'm sorry, 12 weeks and you got something under your belt, and then it's, like, all just about learning, 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 and then you're like, boom, I'm good. I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, even with, like, the new workout, I can still only do one set of Tabata after that workout being.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing that workout tomorrow morning.
It's great. You didn't do. You haven't done it. You must have done it your own.
No, I did it before, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it again tomorrow.
Oh, how many times did you get? You get through the Tabata 3 times. I'm assuming.
I did.
Push. Yeah.
I rested, you know, then I went after it. But yeah, you'll build up to it. It's good though.
It is, and I like it. Definitely like it. But I wanted to vomit this morning again. You know.
And then my day you'd be like, oh, I don't feel like vomiting.
Tomorrow I'll do workout A, and then Friday I'll try workout B again. And I keep saying myself Friday, pushing myself to sleep too.
right.
At least 2 times because it's getting ridiculous.
But yeah.
I think I'm just, and I need to not do cardio before it.
Yeah, don't. So that's about as pretty intense. So like that, especially if you're going 3 rounds. So you can easily use that as your cardio.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, and I wasn't thinking like that either time. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think I just kind of thought that I couldn't do it, but I'm like, I have to be able to do this thing 3 times.
Yeah.
All right. I won't keep you any longer.
All right.
So, thank you.
You're welcome. It was great chatting with you, and I'll put this call up on the actually, I'm going to email it because I couldn't put it on Facebook, which stinks. I have to figure that out. All right. Okay. Bye.